When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another captaincy video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout. It's a double set of fixtures and once again an array of interesting captaincy candidates to choose from. It's also May the 4th. My name is Joe and joining me to find the best captaincy options for double game week 35 is David. David, happy Star Wars Day. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good, thanks. Obviously, I feel like the Force wasn't with us over the weekend because so many of us basically had our FPL teams decimated by the dark side of football, shall we say.
Yes.
So obviously we lost the game and I think I got about 37 points, which actually I think is more than most. Mm. Thanks to, of course, Chris Wood, obviously, coming through
Chris
again.
Wood.
He's the chosen one, clearly. So, but yeah, I mean, those people with points, I saw that the general got like 20 points. I've seen some, you know, big names out there, like 20, 25 points. Nothing like a double game week to kind of like, you know, get us back on track and solve all our problems and, yeah, hoping for a higher ceiling this week. But the thing is, I've got to be honest, looking at the actual the fixtures involved, I think captaincy is probably the thing I'm finding the hardest to really get too excited about. Just simply because the fixtures, I just don't really think that they're tremendously inspiring. There's not too many teams at the moment with fixtures, like two fixtures against favourable teams. Which makes the captaincy very difficult. But of course, you never know. It's a changing world. Everything is in fluctuation right now. And we could end up with another double with Liverpool.
We could indeed. So, yes. So, over the weekend, Manchester United against Liverpool was postponed. I was affected. I had two players on the bench and three in my lineup. So, I was five players down. So I had to go into this with less players than I'd hoped. But I managed to get a green arrow and 44, but that is not thanks to anything I've done and my skill. That is thanks to Chris Wood, who is absolutely fantastic. So yeah, I'll put up a picture of the scenes at Old Trafford. Obviously a huge protest there. I don't want to get into the details of that, but that fans protest meant that game was postponed. It's tricky. It's a tricky game. It's an important game. Manchester City were waiting on the result. They could have been crowned champions. Meanwhile, Manchester United annoyingly being good in Europe, and so they are looking like they're in the final there, especially unless Roma can do a massive turnaround. So that means that this game has got to be played soon. Now, this is the assumption, so we're going to caveat this with a heavy assumption. This is being recorded at the moment at 9:42 on a Tuesday, May the 4th morning. So at some point today or tomorrow, we are hoping we can get an announcement about when this Liverpool-Manchester United game will be rescheduled. The thinking behind this is that in order to fit this into the schedule, which is a packed schedule, they want to get fans back in game weeks 37 and 38 for home matches. So what we're looking at possibly, very possibly, is that Liverpool's game with West Brom in game week 36 moves to game week 35. Therefore, giving Liverpool arguably the best double game week of any team at the moment with Southampton at home and then West Brom away. Meanwhile, that also means that Manchester United's players will play in 36 because the Liverpool-Manchester United game we'll move to 36. Once again, this is the thinking behind it. This is a possibility. This is the likely scenario, but it may not happen. Manchester United against Liverpool could be another time, and all I've just said may not happen. So big caveat there. Timestamp that. As we know at the moment, that's what's happening. So if we were to assume that Liverpool have a double game week of Southampton at home and West Brom away, how enticing is Salah for the captaincy, or possibly Alexander-Arnold? So what do you reckon?
Yeah, well, I mean, if we do get a double for Liverpool, then yeah, it's I mean, arguably it would be the most exciting of all the different pairings that are available. Because as I said, I'm not really that I'm not tremendously inspired by what we get elsewhere in terms of two games that are worth looking at. I think the only other team that really comes close is Crystal Palace.
Yay!
Sheffield United and Southampton in terms of if we're purely just looking at the fixture. So yeah, if we were to get a Liverpool double game, that would solve a lot of the captaincy problems for me, big time. Southampton, obviously, have conceded a fair number of goals of late. They did very well. They did better than we expected against Leicester. But in terms of their big chances conceded over the last six matches, that's 18, third worst in the division. And West Brom conceded 15, so the fifth worst. So, you've got two teams that are obliging at the back. Two teams whose fates, dare I say it, are largely sealed at this point. Like Southampton are definitely staying up. They're not going to get European football. West Brom, I think their chances of staying up are dwindling, running out of time, really. So
they're giving it a go, West Brom. But
yeah, they're giving it a go. That's not to do them. Yeah, that's not to do them down in any way. It's just the window is closing on the opportunity to get through. The distance between them and the end of the Death Star trench, you could say, is running out if we're going for the full theme today. So then obviously Liverpool really need to get top four, so they really need to go for these games. So there's just a lot of reason to believe that they would put out full strength teams for both if these games are indeed going to go ahead. In terms of Salah and Alexander Arnold, I'm still gonna say that I still have some slight concerns about Salah's ability to actually deliver on his promise, just because traditionally he's been a player. Now, when I've owned him and captained him extensively in the past, a player who shoots a lot, a player who doesn't necessarily always get too many of the big chances, but enough to keep ticking over. But then also at the same time, lots of shots on target. And it has been some time since Salah has been right near the top of the charts for shots on target. He has been snatching at them for a while. And so then if we look at the last six matches, he's had eight shots on target, and we've had Richarlison, Lingard, Kane, Bale, Greenwood, Jota, who obviously would also be playing, theoretically be playing twice if this was to go ahead, Havertz, Wood and Iheanacho are all players that have been basically more reliable at turning their shots into shots on target, let alone goals. So that's always going to sit at the back of my mind. I mean, he's still shooting a lot. His 18 shots in the box is the best in the league over the last six matches. But of course, as I said, I think that very much marries up with the eye test when we say we've seen him shoot a lot. We just haven't seen him score as often in proportion to that as we would before. So that would be there at the back of my mind. But at the same time, if we're going to have a double game with Salah available and with the fixtures elsewhere, he's still going to be highly enough captain to probably force my hand. But I do just want to look at Alexander-Arnold as well because, he's an exceptionally creative player. Mm-hmm. I think the clean sheet potential in this game against Southampton is relatively strong. Mm-hmm. In terms of what they've got available, they've still got a few injuries in attacking areas. West Brom, I think, would probably score. But if you're looking at those two, I feel like there's probably at least one clean sheet available. But then also the assist potential of Alexander-Arnold is very high as well. So last six matches, he's created 16 chances. Mm-hmm. The only two players in the league to have created more than that over their last six are Grealish, who obviously is injured, and De Bruyne. So he's keeping strong company in terms of the persistence of his chance creation, but also the quality of it as well. So he's created four big chances. And the only players to have created more big chances in their last six are Vardy and Iheanacho. So again, he's keeping good company there. So I think his point ceiling is fantastic. And I'd arguably say he's better at converting his performances to points than Salah over that particular period. Salah has, if we look at his last 6 points, totals 9, 1, 7, 8, 3, and 2. Whereas you look at Alexander Arnold, and of course that clean sheet potential and the fact that he's a defender and he's scored some goals as well, you've got 2, 8, 11, 12, 9, 1. So, two double figure hauls in there. Mm-hmm. Great ceiling on that player. So, I if we get a Liverpool double, I'm strongly considering Alexander Arnold, to be honest. Of course, we need to look at some of the other bigger names, but he should definitely be in the conversation.
Those that perhaps captained him a couple of weeks ago, when he played, when he was a strong captaincy option, and he blanked, and that's what Liverpool do. All it takes is the clean sheet gone, and if there is no assist there, bearing in mind he is a defender, playing a bit like a winger, but he's not a winger. looking at the stats we've got up on the screen, so all stats tables I'll put up will be last four as well. So I mean, I know a lot of the stats you've got are last six, so putting the last four up as well sort of kind of it's a nice comparison for that, because it shows sort of how the picture's changing slightly. But in the last four matches, Salah, you talked about the volume of shots, 17 shots there, but just six on target. But he's created five chances as well. So that I look at that and I think a breadth of points potential, which is what you want for a captain in a double game week. You want them to play. You assume he's going to be nailed on. We saw the team sheet against Manchester United, even though the game was postponed. The Liverpool-Manchester United game, Jota was dropped. Salah, Firmino, Mane, they were favoured there. So the rest of the team was pretty much as you would expect. So that's quite interesting. Could that mean that Salah misses one of these two games before the Manchester United game, if we are to assume that goes ahead in 36? I don't know. That's just mere speculation. But with Alexander-Arnold, 11 chances created in the last four, there's a breadth of points potential there, and we know about his bonus. Jota and Mane would be if for some reason you fancy going against Salah or Alexander-Arnold. But you never know. You never know. They could emerge. Jota, we've seen come off the bench and score brace. That can happen. Mane has had 11 shots inside the box, 5 on target and 11 goal attempts. And he's had an assist as well and created 5 chances. So whilst the narrative is that he's having a poor season, by his terms he is, in a double game week against two obliging defences, Mane is not that bad an option. There's points potential there. So yeah, once again, it's a real caveat here. By the time you watch this, it may be confirmed that Liverpool have got a double. Maybe confirmed they haven't. So, you know, bear that in mind when you watch this back. So let's look at these worst defences. So this is once again last four. Shows Crystal Palace still up there. They've conceded 15 big chances. And their expected goals conceded is about 9, which is what they've conceded. So they're sort of they're not like Brighton in amazing XG, but keeps conceding. They are actually kind of performing as they should be, according to the expected stats. Newcastle, West Ham, and then, crucially, West Brom and Southampton. So they are showing there how strong Liverpool's potential is there to deliver good returns, with West Brom and Southampton up there amongst the worst defences over the last four. But, you know, there are other options as well. So let's assume you don't want to captain a Liverpool player, or Liverpool don't have a double game week. So there are other options there. And I guess one of them would be Manchester United and Fernandes. So Fernandes, he was on my goals and assists imminent table last week. And then Roma came along. And then suddenly delivered goals and assists. And it looked very much like, I know Roma were very obliging, it's a different competition as well. But nevertheless, that showed that Fernandes is a really nice, reliable stats person. if it looks like he's going to score, if he looks like he's due for an assist, chances are he will. He's not going to just drift away like a Nathan Redmond off to the horizon.
Like a force ghost.
Yeah, exactly. He stays on target. He impacts on the surface of that goal. So yeah, Fernandes I think is a great option. So Manchester United have Villa and Leicester. Now both obliging defences. Leicester can concede, and Villa, I don't know. I don't know whether they're on the beach, where they are, but I'm not quite sure they're fully focused on the Premier League at the moment. What do you think? Manchester United assets, Villa against Leicester?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're playing Aston Villa, so staying on target will be quite easy in that game. Just go and play on the right wing. His stats, I was just looking before we started recording, his stats have they're not amazing compared to, say, some of the more informed players in the league, because obviously he hasn't been delivering fantasy returns in the Premier League. But they are still actually, as we can see, like the best among Man United players. So last six matches, his minutes per expecting goal involvement is every 122 minutes, which is just a margin ahead of Greenwood on 129. They're slightly different players, even though Mason Greenwood has a better XG on penalty. Fernandes obviously has a better minutes per expected goal involvement, because penalties traditionally hold a stronger XG rating, but also, of course, he's got the better assist potential as well. So his expected assists over the last six is 1.94. So he's underperforming against that, as you said. So a player like him, that doesn't mean that they're like a Redmond, a player who traditionally struggles to deliver on their XG. he's underperformed against his like three of the last four seasons or something. But Fernandez, whenever he's got an XG or an XA delta in the negative, you've got to assume it's going to happen soon. So it's -0.94 for expected assists for him, and his expected goals are 2.46. And his so his XG delta is -1.46, and overall his XGI delta is -2.4. So he's basically returned 2.4 less attacking returns than he should have done.
Okay.
So he so yeah, the XG is showing how Dewey is there. Villa, I think that as you said, who knows with Villa? I never really know, because the thing is that they can look quite obliging. But then, of course, Martinez is the kind of goalkeeper that can kind of he will be the true winner of Villa's obliging nature rather than the attacking players of the other team, because he's so good at making the saves. His you know, if we look at what they've done defensively of late, you know, they're never really in the bottom half of the table anymore. They're kind of like lower mid table. So they've conceded 13 big chances last six, which is basically the ninth worst. So they're in the kind of same realm as Spurs, West Ham, Newcastle. Suggests that they're not going to keep a clean sheet, but it suggests also that they're not going to get like drubbed. And then Leicester, again, a strange team, I find, in terms of defence, because actually their stats are not terrible. So last six XG conceded is 4.63. It's the fourth best.
Okay, well, but they have last conceded... four up as well. Yeah, so last four
similar
shows...
story, isn't it?
It's a similar story, but they are sort of... they're the fifth best, so you might... we might be seeing a slight move there. I mean, it's very small stats.
Yeah. But of course, we can still see that across last four and last six, they're not necessarily delivering on their position at the table in terms of XG conceded, because they've conceded seven in the last six and they've conceded four in the last four.
Yeah.
So, you know, clean sheets are not particularly forthcoming for them. I think they've got something like two clean sheets since like game week 24. Mm. So, again, I think United will score. I just don't think it'll be a drubbing. Now, does it need to be a drubbing for Fernandes to get double-figure hauls in both games? Not really. What he's got to do is get a return in both games. And because he generally produces a lot on the pitch, the bonus system tends to reward him. So, yeah, the chances of him getting a solid score in this game week, I would say, are fairly strong. And, of course, so he's tailed off recently. And we've had times before where owning him and not captaining him would actually be damaging to you. Whether or not that would still be the case of this game week, I'm not so sure. I think if Liverpool have a double game week, then he will lose some of that power, because there will be people who are drawn to Salah purely on the name, which, by the way, when I say that, is not to suggest he's a bad option. It's just you've got to think about what's going on around kind of some of these more detailed discussions. So there'll be a lot of captaincies for Salah, which would take away from Fernandes. So if Liverpool have a double game week, I arguably think your hand will be forced less on Fernandes. Okay. But if Man United have a double game week and Liverpool don't, then I wouldn't be too shocked to see Fernandes the most popular captain. And then at that point, it might be, you might, I don't know, some people may feel like they have to captain Fernandes, so because both, when he has good fixtures, he can be damaging to you if you own a new captain.
Okay, they're both strong as candidates for the armband. But, you know, there are others as well. It is a double game where there's plenty of teams involved. I'll keep the worst defences up here. So, table up. Last four, we've got Crystal Palace, obviously we know about. And then second one, will we ever find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy as the Newcastle defence, who are up there with Crystal Palace? 10 big chances conceded. Their XG is well over 8 as well. And let's put Leicester up, because Leicester are facing them. And we know they're good options. So Iheanacho notched an assist in game week 34. He's only blanked once in his last 8 run-outs. Another strong option, Leicester versus Newcastle, Manchester United. Iheanacho is the main man for Leicester. Strong option for the captaincy?
Yeah, Iheanacho continues to look good and continues to look better than Vardy as well. I'll revisit the his individual stats for the last six, which is still impressive enough. So 16 shots in a box, that's joint third best. He's got 7 big chances, so that's the joint second best, and 13 shots on target is now the best. He's overtaken the great Chris Wood, top of that particular chart.
That is good.
So, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's hugely impressive to get past him. So, I mean, it's marginal. He's only one ahead. But the point is, he's still performing at a high level. And Even against Southampton, I think in the most recent game, he was a little bit more peripheral than we perhaps would have liked, but he still was able to get involved. He got the assist for Johnny Evans's goal, actually returning the favour for his incredible goal in the previous game. And so then the assist potential for Iheanacho is really high as well. Five big chances created in the last six matches. That's the joint best in the league. Level with Vardy, so that I arguably have the same level of assist potential, arguably for each other. And they're very good. they're very good strike pairing. You know, the rule of two. You know, a bit like two Sith Lords, I suppose. can do a lot of damage. So yeah. So the Newcastle game is a lot more appealing. Is a lot more appealing than the Man United one. So I think that would be if I was forced to choose between a Leicester asset and a Man United one. I do think that. Fixture-wise, United is a better combination of games than Newcastle United. Now, I think they will get something against Newcastle, of course, but it's just against Man United, it's hard to say because Man United's defence has been very strong recently. So if we look at the last six, I mean, they're fifth for XGC, but they are actually considerably better at like dealing with that and turning it into defensive potential. So. To be honest, to compare the Leicester and United defence, because we can't have to really if they've both got the double and they're both playing each other. Whilst they're in a similar area of the table for XGC, fourth and fifth respectively, Leicester and Man United, Leicester have conceded seven goals off an XGC of 4.63 with two clean sheets in that last six. But Man United off an XGC of 5.03 have conceded just three goals and have kept three clean sheets.
Yeah.
And before the before the most recent round of matches, or possibly the one before, Man United were actually in the top three for XGC as well. And across the last six, they are also joint best for just goals conceded anyway. So this United defence is strong. So would I feel happy captaining a Leicester asset against Man United? Now, of course, the Newcastle game is nice, but it kind of almost feels like with Leicester's assets, you feel like you could maybe get an attacking return or two in a Newcastle game and probably a two-pointer against Man United and anything else as a bonus. But with the Man United guys, you actually feel like there could actually be attacking returns against Villa and Leicester. Yeah. So I think that there's a slight advantage for the United assets there.
Yeah, I mean, I've got the last four fixtures, defences up again, and it shows exactly what you were saying over the last six. The Manchester United and Leicester defences are strong there. Manchester United, their goals conceded three last four, and they're expected to have conceded three. And same with Leicester. They have actually conceded five, but they've only expected conceded three. So this looks like a tight game, especially with the way Solskjaer sets up his side against these bigger sides. And Leicester aren't a bigger side. I think it's going to be 0-0. I mean, if I was to, you know, predict a score for this, 0-0, 1-1 possibly with a couple of penalties. I don't know. But yeah, so it looks to me that the Newcastle game is the one. And if he blanks against Newcastle and you captained him, that will be a bit distressing. So I feel personally a bit more comfortable with Fernandes and Salah for this one. Let's look at the rest of the fixtures as well. So many fixtures. I've had to split them up into two columns. so as we said, we've spoken about Leicester, Newcastle. I'm just going to focus on the double game week ones, and then we can possibly end with some single game week options. Just because I think in a double game week, more often than not, the best captain will be amongst those players. It may not be the Fernandes or Salah, it could be a Ward-Prowse, it could be a Calvert-Lewin. But nevertheless, if you're playing two fixtures and you're a strong option, chances are you're gonna get more than those with one fixture. But you never know, you never know. So looking at this list here, Chelsea, awful double game week, but nevertheless, Chelsea have Man City, who are the strongest defence, and Arsenal, there could be returns there. Chelsea, rather good in Europe as well. So it's difficult to predict. Villa obviously got Manchester United and Everton, can't keep a clean sheet. No Grealish still. Crystal Palace, they have a great double game week. Sheffield United and Southampton. But Zaha may have a knock. We're going to be awaiting news on that later in the week. Everton have West Ham and Aston Villa away. That could be the place where the best captain lies. And Southampton play Liverpool and Crystal Palace. So half good, half bad there. So I've got a list here of players, so I can get your views on some of those other options. a list of players of the last four. So this is all players from those double game week sides, last four matches. And this shows that Iheanacho and Salah are the main ones in terms of expected goal involvement. There, Martinelli up there, expected goal involvement just behind them. So if you're looking for a differential, Martinelli for Arsenal. But then you're looking at the likes of Fernandes. And then it shows that if the Chelsea players play, you've got Havertz, Jota's up there, then Calvert-Lewin. And you've got to go right the way down, you know, past all the Leicester and Chelsea players to get to, say, Ward-Prowse with an expected goal involvement of nearly two over the last four. So we're relying on penalties, really. And then the likes of El Ghazi, Watkins, Sigurdsson. So in comparison to Salah, if he has a double game week, in comparison to Fernandes, do any of these other also-rans also ran for you?
Well, I mean, to be honest, outside of the of these sort of options, I've got a bad feeling about them, to be honest.
Yeah.
Much like Han Solo does about everything. yeah, Chelsea especially, I have a very bad feeling about, because their fixtures, just they're not strong enough for me. You know, when you go and play Man City away, you know, that's no blue moon. And then, of course, Arsenal. I'd never know what you're going to get with them. Like, they are fully capable of honestly actually creating a tight game against their rivals, especially from London as well. But they're also capable of getting done over 3-0. But then also with Chelsea as well. I still just get the feeling that they are more reliable for defensive returns than they are attacking ones. And it's not to say that Chelsea aren't an attacking side under Tuchel. Of course, they are very much like a very metronomic possession-based side now. But it's more just the fact that you don't know who's going to start. Havertz is a great option, and we actually chose him in the scout picks this week, and we're very happy to see him deliver. But for the double game week, can you guarantee he's going to play twice? What if he just plays the City game? Yeah. That could just be a 2 points written all over it. But of course, I mean, you know, they've both got bigger fish to fry, City and Chelsea potentially. I mean, that could be the Champions League final. So I mean, if they you know, if they win their games this week, you know, that they may need to use a game like that to just kind of like carry things over. Now, of course, there's still a lot riding on it as well, because City may just want to, you know, push on, get those 3 points and win the league without having to worry about, you know, United, Liverpool. Chelsea obviously would like to probably finish in the top four just in case they don't win the Champions League, although I think they have a very strong chance of doing that as well. Either way, it's too sort of like when you kind of go eat, like, you know, you're chopping back and forth on all the different sort of factors in a game. That for me is always one I don't look at it. So yeah, Chelsea, I definitely wouldn't be considering it. If people are kind of excited about Havertz, and great, go for it. But I like to go for what I know, really, and I couldn't tell he's going to play both. I think I'm not going to captain him, but one player I am excited about for this game week, if he is fit, is Zaha, because Sheffield United Southampton is, I would say, the best combination of fixtures you can possibly get. You know, last six matches, they're both in the bottom five for XGC. They are both in the bottom three for big chances conceded. You know, Palace, if they turn up, which they can, I mean, they can on their day do well. I mean, Eze has been a good signing and adds a lot of life to the attack. And obviously Zaha, when he's fit, exactly the same.
Yeah.
And of course, it being at home as well, I feel like that'll be to their advantage. They're not as good away from home this year as they were last year. Zaha, I think, has two attacking returns in his last four.
Yeah.
So potential outside bet. But as you said, we just got to wait and see on that press conference.
I'll,
if he's fit. I think he's probably fine. He finished the game.
Yeah.
So I think he's probably all right, but yeah, do just check.
I was quite pleased. I got Joel Ward in as my enabler for a bench boost for this week. I was quite pleased. He almost scored, bless him. I think he's 32 now. I might have done a disservice, maybe 31. But yeah, looking at Arsenal are intriguing, because they've got West Brom at home and also Chelsea away. So it's half good, half bad. But look at all those Arsenal names there. Really high up. Martinelli, Lacazette, if he's fit. Very unlikely there. Aubameyang creeping in. And we saw at the weekend what a great fancy asset he can be. So I just wonder, if you're looking for a differential and you feel confident that you can predict Arteta's lineup, it's a big if there. I think Arsenal could be the option there. There are some single match day contenders. Looking at the fixtures, well, I say that, when compared to all of the others, especially with two fixtures, I think really it's looking at Spurs against Leeds. Kane is not, I never thought I'd say I regret bringing Kane in It didn't really, damage me too much. Kane in for Vardy, because Vardy blanked last week. But Kane, I don't feel confident captaining him now. It's that lack of confidence. Whereas Son could be another option. Bale as well could be an option against Leeds. But other than that, I mean, do you see any other single game weekers that could rival the double game weekers?
Yeah, not really. No. Yeah, I'm not particularly inspired by it, really. And the thing is, at this stage of the season, like, if you're captaining a single game week player in a double game week where there's possibly, what, would it be nine teams playing twice?
Yeah.
Potentially. I mean, we know it's definitely at least eight, I think. I just think, I don't know, what are you playing FPL for? Sorry, I'm sure someone will take offence to that. But it's, there's four game weeks left and everyone wants to get higher up. You've got to attack this game. You've got to go for double game captain.
Yeah, definitely. Opinion, so. Got to go for that. So, yeah, hopefully we've covered all bases there. As I said at the beginning, big caveat there with that Liverpool double game week potential. If that's not there, hopefully we've given you lots of other good options to think about for the armband, should that Liverpool fixture not be a double game week. But in the meantime, David, thanks so much for your time and good luck with your double game week, Captain.
Cheers, Joe. May the force be with you.